Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What we'd like to deal with, if the Lord would help us, is what was Abraham looking for? God promised him, and you know, he even said this, I'll give you all you look. Abraham, to the north and the west and the south and the east, and I'll give you all this. Listen to what the Bible says. He said that he went out unto the place after for it, that he should after receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Looks like he was looking for something besides this, doesn't it? So he's in the promised land, but you know, that was a promise fleshly. That was a promise to the children of Israel when they come out of Egypt that they were going to dwell in that land, naturally speaking. But he, by faith, he sojourned. You know, he was just there for a little while. That's the idea. You know, Elimelech went down to Moab to sojourn. He went down there to stay just a little while, but he died down there. Abraham is sojourning in the land of promise, as in a strange country. It doesn't look like what he's really looking for. I don't believe he's seeing it. In a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. So that word there means movable tents. You know, Abraham never did have a house. The Lord Jesus never did have a house. But in movable tents, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's a tent, that's what the word means. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, were loosened down. You know, I don't know how you do a tent, but most tents have got little pegs and maybe strings on it and stakes, and you stake it down. But you know what? Abraham's going to have to pull up his stakes every now and then and move to a different place. One day, you and I are going to pull up our stakes and move to a different place. So, a movable tent. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, were loosened down, we have a building, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. So, I believe you could say this, that we have a building of God. You know, the architect of that building is God. So I want you to listen to what the definition of an architect is. An architect is a person qualified to design a building, to plan and to supervise the construction, taking into consideration all the constraints of the law, the code, what's right. That's what an architect does. Abraham is looking for a city, for he looked for a city. So he's sojourning. he's dwelling in movable tents, but he's looking for this. He's looking for something that's unmovable. He's looking, and you know what he's looking for? He's looking for a city that's built by God. A city that's unmovable, by a God who is immutable, by a God who is all-knowing, all-righteous, who is qualified to design and build and to supervise Not only can he draw it out, but he is the one that is in the supervision of it coming together and is following all of the local codes. Now that's what an architect does. Let's listen to what the Bible says that Abraham's looking for. Abraham is looking for a city. And you know this will take a little while. But he's waiting in expectation of a city. So the word city there, it means this. It means a building or a dwelling enclosed by walls. It means to cover or a fullness. So Abraham is looking for a city whose foundations, that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So I want you to think about a city for just a minute. Matthew chapter 8. We'll try to go in order if you'd like to turn with us. If you can't turn, that's all right. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 34. Matthew 8, 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Let's go to 12:25. Matthew 12:25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. Matthew 21:10. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Mark chapter 1, verse 33. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Acts 13, verse 44. And I've got a point to make. I'm not trying to just run you everywhere. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. What's Abraham looking for? In all of these texts I've read to you, what are we talking about? Listen, that's right. People. Acts 8:44. And all the city, whole city came together to hear. Can a city hear? I mean, a literal city. Can a city talk? What's Abraham looking for? He's looking for a place that he, a person, can dwell with God. He's looking for a walled place. He's looking for a place of safety. He's looking for a place of security. He's looking for a place that he can dwell with God and God dwell with him. So 11 and 10, for he looked, so he was waiting in expectation. Now he's dwelling, sojourning in the promised land. But that's not satisfying Abraham. That's not satisfying what he's looking for. So he's looking for a place that a people can dwell with God. So he says, and he looked for a city. So as you think about this, so it's an enclosed, a dwelling enclosed with walls, fullness, or to cover. In the book of Ruth, Ruth said in chapter 3 and verse 9, she went out and she saw Boaz, and she said, you're a near kinsman. Spread your skirt over me. You know what she was saying? Cover me. Bring me into the family. Cover me up. I want to be in the family of my heavenly Boaz. I want to be in the family of those that are children of God. He also says in the book of Acts chapter number 2, or in the book of Luke chapter 24, listen to these words. In the book of Luke chapter 24, Jesus said this, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." What was going to happen to those folks? They were going to be covered. They were going to be clothed. They were going to be covered, and they were going to be brought in, and there was going to be a covering. And there wasn't just going to be a covering. It also means a fullness. So there's a covering. There's a shelter. There is safety. There is security. There's a wall around us. But also there is a fullness in the book of Acts chapter number 2. He tells us there in Luke 24, you stay in Jerusalem until you be covered, till you be clothed with the power, with the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts, verse number 4, chapter 2, verse 4. Remember now, the city means a place of dwelling in walls, a place of fullness, a place of covering. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. What has happened? I tell you what has happened. Friend, the city of God has come down. The Holy Spirit of God has come down. And these people are made part of the family of God. Abraham is looking for a city. He's looking for a city. And as you think about this, look at how this is written. For he looketh for a city which has foundations. His tent had no foundation. His tent was set down on the earth. What's going to happen to this earth? By the word of God, this earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. This earth is going to be dissolved. Abraham was looking for a city which hath foundations. So that word right there, that means to set or to lay a foundation. But you get more direct and it means to place a stone. Abraham's looking for a foundation. He's looking for a city that has a foundation. I believe this, or this is the way I saw it several days ago. I tell you what this is. This is a city whose foundation is God, whose architect is God, and whose maker is God. This is a city, and friend, this city, that word foundation means to place a stone. Well, I tell you, friend, if there was ever a stone placed, the Lord Jesus Christ was a stone placed, wasn't he? You know what he was? Go back with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, and listen to this. And see now, see if this doesn't look like what the Abraham is looking for. So we're no longer strangers. We were strangers and pilgrims this morning. We were lost without God. We were estranged from God. We are on our way to hell. If it had not been for the grace of God, we would have ever one died in our sins and went to hell. But God. Now you are built upon the foundation, Ephesians 2 and 20. And you are built, listen, let me read 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and followers, but fellow citizens. Citizens of what? Citizens of a city. Citizens of another place. Citizens of a country. Not the promised land that Abraham was dwelling in. I'm talking about a city that's got foundations that are stone. Foundations that are placed by God. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, a stone placed, right here is my foundation, folks. As our sister sung that song, My God, what a foundation and an anchor we've got. Let me tell you, this foundation and this anchor is not going to move. This anchor and this foundation is put in by God. God put this foundation. These fellows sitting over here, they may have put a foundation in for Dwight's granddaughter just a little while back up here on the hill. But you know what? That foundation one day will be dissolved. That foundation one day will be done away with. That foundation one day will be done away with. Friend, if it's put in by man, it's going to be done away with. But I'll tell you, a foundation is put in by God and built upon the foundation of the apostles on that foundation. And listen, we got to get this right. Are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We're not building on the apostles and the prophets. We're not building upon them. They are laying that foundation. They are laying that foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. God laid this foundation. A friend, before the foundation of the world, God laid a foundation for the church and for the city and for the bride of Christ. He laid a foundation, and friend, that foundation has been laid in eternity past, and it will not move. It's not going down. It's not going to fall. You're not going to sink. Friend, it's on the blessed solid rock of ages, and friend, that foundation and that rock shall not be moved. Abraham was looking for that. Listen just a little bit. So we are built upon the foundation. It's not consisting of the apostles and prophets, but it's laid by them. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom? So in Christ. All the building, so you know, He's going to talk to us about this city over in the book of the Revelation. It's going to be a bride. In the book of Ephesians, it's a building. And it's also, listen now, in whom all the building fitly framed together. So in whom is Christ, right? So there's a body. You see the body? We're the body of Christ. We're the building of Christ, and in the Revelation, we're the bride of Christ. And we are in Him, all the building fitly framed together groweth. So this building is alive. This building is growing into a habitation. Listen to what the Bible says. Groweth into an holy temple. So a spiritual building, a dwelling of the Lord, a spiritual and a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye also are builded, so we're constructed together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You know what we are? We're a permanent dwelling place for God. If you've been saved, you are a permanent dwelling place for God Almighty. Abraham was looking for the day that he could dwell in God and God could dwell in him. Abraham was looking for a city whose foundations, friend, which foundation? I'll tell you what foundation. The foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said this. He said, there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the stone that the builders rejected. And let me tell you this, God laid this stone, this foundation. You talk about wonderful. Maybe you can't see it. Maybe I'm not doing too good a job of it. But the Lord, in this verse, He does absolutely everything. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Listen to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16. So they've been on the mount. Who do men say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
And Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. You see the foundation? You see what the foundation is? The foundation is the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. The foundation is that you and I, the church, is built on the foundation of a knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of David. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of Mary. Jesus Christ is the Son of David and the Son of God. He's the Son of Man and the Son of God. He is, ladies and gentlemen, a God come in flesh. Jesus Christ is God come in flesh who died on the cross and performed the finished work of Calvary. My foundation has been laid by God and I'm in the city. Now remember, this second, so there's a foundation built upon this stone. And again, and I've already alluded to it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, according to the grace of God which He has given me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, Paul's writing, no other found, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. I ask you this, who laid that? God. God did. God laid Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of the church. God laid Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of the building. It was Almighty God who brought this about. It was God in heaven above that brought about Jesus Christ to be the chief cornerstone. And friend, the foundation of the church, a friend, is built upon. And you and I grow into a habitation and a dwelling place of God. And we're built on Jesus Christ. The apostles and the prophets, am I built on them? No, I'm built on their preaching. I'm built on their gospel. I'm built on the good news of the finished work of Jesus Christ that they have preached unto me. That's what I'm built on. I'm built on Christ. And God laid Him. So there's the first part. So the architect, the person qualified to design the building. But there's more to the architect. Plan and supervise the construction, taking into consideration all constraints. So let's go a little farther. Let's look a little more. He looked for a city which hath foundations. So God laid. I don't believe there's any way that we can get around it that God laid the foundation. When Abraham was going up on the mountain and Isaac said, here's the fire and here's the wood, but where's the lamb? Abraham said to Isaac, Isaac, God will provide Himself a lamb. Isn't that what we need? Don't we need something to take away our sin? God shall provide Himself a lamb. John saw Him coming down the road one day, and you know what he said? Behold, look here. Here's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And friend, you know what I'm in? I'm in the city. I'm in the church. I'm a part of the bride. I'm in the body. A friend, and you know why I'm there? A friend, because of being laid in Jesus Christ. God laid this foundation. So let's go farther. Who's builder? So that word means architect. So the architect, now I want you to think about the architect, the designer, the master builder, the executor of the design. He's going not only to draw it, he's going to make sure that it's constructed right. He's going to watch over the building of this church. He is going to watch over the building of this city. He's going to design it. And now I want you to think with me. An architect is going to design a building. before the first shovels ever moved. There's four elevations at least. He's got a picture of the front of it, the back of it, the right side, the left side. There's detailed drawings. There's a site plan of where it's going to sit. And there are drawings that tells how that this is to be done. There's an electrical drawing. There's a mechanical drawing. There's a structural drawing. Now listen, God drew this. God drew this and had a vision of it before He ever brought it to the world. Before He ever brought it to the world, you could look at the blueprints of it. And I tell you, the blueprints are right here. The drawings are in the Word of God. And friend, before there was ever the first thing done, before there was a world, before there was an Adam, before there was a day one, God had the city designed and He had every elevation in line. Friend, He had the drawings. Friend, and listen, you say, preacher, that's foolish. I'm telling you, just like an architect has got a drawing, if an architect drew this building right here, he'd have a foundation plan. He'd have the framing plan. He'd have the windows and the door schedule. Friend, he'd tell you what was on the walls, what was on the roof. He'd place it right here in this curve around 209. He had a site plan. Every bit of it was in his mind before anything ever started. That's God. We're talking about Abraham looking for a city that doesn't have man's hand in it. So the builder, the architect. But, you know, we got elevations, we got installation, we got site plans, we've got all of these things, and we also have to make sure that we follow the rules. Does this building have to meet the requirements of God? Does the law have to be satisfied? Does all the restriction and all the holiness and all the justice and all the righteousness and, friend, all of the law, does all of that have to be satisfied? Well, I tell you, God Almighty, our friend, has designed a building. And let me tell you this, it's going to meet the requirements of God. It's going to meet all the holiness, all the righteousness. It's going to meet the law. There's not going to be one law broken. There's not going to be one thing in this building that doesn't come up to the specs of God. He's going to do it. He's going to make sure it's done. When he made a covenant with Abraham, do you remember where Abraham was? Asleep. That's right. I'm going to make a covenant, me and Anthony. You know what? If we make a covenant, let's say we make a covenant. Let's say Carmen's a notary. Me and Anthony's both going to have to come before Carmen, and we're going to have to sign on the dotted line, both of us, and she's going to be a witness to it. But do you know where Abraham was when God made the covenant? Abraham was in a deep sleep, and God passed through the midst of the sacrifices that were separated, and He said, listen, Abraham, if I don't do this, He said, let me be like this separated sacrifice. Let me be dead. Let me be separated. I'm going to carry it out. God's the architect, and He is the builder as well. Abraham was looking for something that didn't have man's hand in it. Whose builder? Whose builder? The builder of the city. The foundation is laid by God, and it's God Himself. The foundation's not only laid by God, but it is God. And the builder, the architect, the designer, the executor of the design and the executor of the construction, and the one that's going to bring all of this building together, who is he? Oh, it's the same one. I believe you could say it like this. It's the Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three of them are involved in this building. Jesus died that you and I could be brought in. We're built on the foundation of the finished work of Jesus Christ. But it's God who draws us in. It's really the Holy Spirit in you and I. But it was God who drew up the elevation plan. It was God who drew the building from before the foundation of the world. It was God, ladies and gentlemen, when there was no building and there was no earth and there was no man and there was no Adam and there were no trees and there were no animals. God had a plan already drawn up. I'm glad that I'm a part of something that God built and man doesn't have his hand in it. So a little more. So this, who's builder and maker. So the maker means this, a workman for public. So I believe you could say it like this. And I'm not trying to separate them. But in the council, God said, I'm drawing up the plan. I'm going to lay you for the foundation, Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the worker for the public. He's going to come. And this building, it's going to be built on him. He's going to be the stone. He's going to be the stone placed and laid by God. But he's also going to be the framer. The word means a worker for the public. A framer, a creator, the author of the work. Listen, folks. Look with me. Right down the page. Chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who is he? He's the author of the work. He's the beginner of the work, but not just the beginner. He's the finisher. You know what he said on Calvary? 1930, I believe, in the book of John. What did he say on Calvary? How friendly he hung his head and he said, it is finished. Thank God. You know what he did? How friend, the foundation for the building was laid right there. And my salvation and your salvation, as far as his work, was a finished work. He's the framer, the creator, the builder, the author. He's the one that works for the public. God working. God so loved the world. Isn't that for the public? In the context, he worked for the Jew and also for the Gentile. Turn the page and let's go to Hebrews 12. So Moses come to Mount Sinai, fearful, quaking, death, dark. Verse 12:22. But you are come. Who's you? Saved. Born again. You are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. So when you look at Mount Zion, that was the southern part of Jerusalem, and it's where the king dwelt. That's where you and I have come. We've come to the king's palace. We've come to where the king dwells. So we've come to Mount Zion, unto the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So there's the earthly Jerusalem, but you know what you and I are part of? We're a part of the heavenly Jerusalem. We're a part of the Jerusalem that God built. Now it might have been David. It might have been Saul. It might have been his predecessors. It might have been Solomon afterward that built Jerusalem and built the temple and built Solomon's great temple. Friend, but let me tell you this. I'm talking about a new Jerusalem. I'm talking about a heavenly Jerusalem. I'm talking about being a part of the family of God. I'm talking about being a part of the king's dwelling place and the king's palace that God built. You may be a part of the church, but let me tell you this. If there's not a work of God been done in your heart, you're not a part of His church. You may be a part of this visible church. It could burn down tonight. You may be a part of this visible church. A little tornado could come through and jerk it off of the foundation tonight. You could be a part of the visible church. And friend, we could have 6 or 8 inches of rain and it wash it away. But I'll tell you, I'm a part of the church that Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Ghost built. I'm a part of the new Jerusalem. I'm a part of the heavenly Jerusalem. And I have already come into that. You see what the book says. You've not come to Mount Zion, to Mount Sinai, but you are coming to Mount Zion. You are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. I tell you what, I'm in the dwelling. I'm in the place where God lives. And listen, He's in me. I'm in Him, and He's in me. By the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm a part of that city that they saw coming down on the day of Pentecost. I'm a part of that city that was filled. I'm a part of that city that was covered. I'm a part of that city that was clothed with the Holy Spirit. I'm a part of that city. And God is the one that laid the foundation, and He laid His Son for the foundation. And He's the architect, the designer, the executor, and He's the one that works for the public as well. I wonder if we're a part of this. Are we a part of this little visible church right here? Oh, we've come to heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. You know what he said over in Luke? In the book of Luke, he said this. He talked about that fella having them sheep. And he went out and he left the 99 in the wilderness, and he went out to the mountain, and he got that one sheep, and he brought it back. And he said, and they all rejoiced with him. And he said, so shall the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner. I tell you what's going on, folks. We've come into a celebration. We've come into a celebration, and the angels in heaven, according to what he says over a little farther, the angels in heaven would like to look in to what you and I have. My God, what a blessing. What that you and I have been brought into. Might not interest you. I hope that somewhere down the road it would. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Now who's the firstborn? Jesus Christ is the firstborn from among the dead. You know who where I was? I was dead. I was dead in trespasses and sin, but I am now. I am now coming to the assembly of the church. What's the church? The called out. We read to you this morning out of Romans chapter number 8 and about number 29, 30, 31. You know what's going to happen? If you're called, I tell you what you're going to be. The called are going to be justified. And those that are justified are going to be sanctified, and they're going to be glorified. A friend, God called the church out. Out from this world. Where is our citizenship? Now you think about Abraham, what he said over there. He was sojourning in the promised land. But he was looking for a place that had a foundation under it. That's right. Solid. A walled city. Full. Covered. So let's think a little more. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. When? Before the foundation of the world. How could it be that God wrote anybody's name down before the foundation of the world? He's the architect. He's the designer. He drew it all up. And let me tell you something, friend. He didn't draw it up and leave a window out. He didn't draw it up and leave part of the framing out. He drawed it up and everything. I'll tell you this. A friend, you go to the city of Asheville, you submit a blueprint to them of what you're going to do electrically. I'm going to put in a 2,000 amp service here. We're going to have 4 200 amp panels down here, a 600 amp panel over here, and there's going to be 8 breakers right here. I tell you, when the inspector comes, if it's not like it's written down on the print, you're going to have to get an engineer to sign off on it. God ain't going to sign off of this. It's going to be just exactly like He drew it out. There will be no addendums. There will be no changing. But now listen to what the book says. To the general assembly of the church of firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, we've come to God. We've come to God. We've come into the church. We've come to the firstborn. We've come to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. My. And unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and of the blood of sprinkling, which speaketh better things than that of Abel. That's what you and I have come into, folks. If you're a part of the family of God, we've come into a city where God dwells. Think with me for a moment. In John chapter 14, used at lots and lots of funerals, I go away. In my Father's house are many mansions. What that word right there means is dwelling or tabernacle. In my Father's house, in my Father's family. You know what the Lord told David, or it might have been Nathan? He said, God's going to build you a sure house. He's talking about a family. In my Father's family are many mansions, many rooms. And I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Where was Jesus going? Why, preacher, He was going to heaven. And you know, it's been 2,000 years. He's just about got my little mansion ready. Really? Is that what you think? Is that how little that your God is? Let me tell you that my God created all that there is in 6 days, including man. In 6 days, God created everything, and you think God has gone to heaven to build you a little cabin in the corner of glory land, and 2,000 years later, it's so glorious and so grand, He's not got it finished yet. I'll tell you where He was going. He was going to the cross. He was going to die for my sin. He was going to be an offering and a sacrifice unto God. And friend, on day number 50, He was going to send back the Holy Ghost where He was. I could be also. I'm in the city. I'm in the family. And if you're saved, you get rid of that mess about Him building you a mansion. Chapter 13, verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. Let me tell you something, friend. My citizenship is in heaven. I may be here and I may be a stranger and a pilgrim. I may be an alien alongside. I may look like a friend. I'm different, and thank God I want to be different. I pray that I can be different. Let me be different than what's around me and what I'm around. Let me be an alien alongside of these earth dwellers. My home is in heaven. My citizenship is there. All right. Let's go to Revelation for just a minute. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. We're talking about the same thing. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned. So arranged, the word there is cosmetic. The word that we get cosmetic. Is she arrayed? Is she beautified? Is she pretty? Is everything in place? I'll tell you that everything is in place just exactly like God the architect drew it up to start with. She's got righteousness. She's got holiness. She's covered the law. Everything. You know what he is? A friend, thank God for him. He's the just and the justifier. Because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the justice of God was satisfied, and I have been justified through him. You see, this is God's building. This is God's body, and this is God's bride. You know, there's a pile of people who think, well, it's up to me to choose God. Is it? Really? Why don't you get your brother or your sister or your buddy on the job? Why don't you get them to pick you a wife for you? Huh? You mean you're going to pick your own wife? But God doesn't have the freedom. God doesn't have the ability. It's not fair for God to pick him a wife. Is that right? I tell you that Abraham's number one servant left and went over to Padan Aram and picked a wife for Isaac. He, the Holy Ghost, went over and picked a wife for Isaac. Jesus Christ drew the city. Our God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the architect drew the city before there was ever a world. You just bear with me. I know there'll be people reject it, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm talking about a big God. I'm not talking about a God who can create the world and send his son and hope that maybe somebody will get saved. I'm talking about a God who is in control of all things, who is in unity, that God the Father who sent the Son and Jesus Christ who died on the cross and he, the Holy Spirit, who draws me unto him out of these saved, they're all in unity. The Godhead is not divided in his purpose nor will. So we're talking about the same thing. John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Who's the husband? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the husband. All that my Father give to me shall come to me. Isn't that right? Isn't that what John says? This is the same John right here. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold the tabernacle. So here we are. Here's the abode. The habitation of God is with men, and he will dwell. That word means to be in the presence, to cover. It means an intimate communion. He shall have an intimate communion with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know what he's going to be? Emmanuel, God with us. But listen, friend. We read that over in Isaiah chapter 9. And friend, that's just the tip of the iceberg. He didn't just come in the flesh to be with us. But I'll tell you what he did. He came to be with us in the flesh. Died on the cross of Calvary. Rose again on Sunday morning. I spent 40 days on the earth. And on day 50, he came back and said, I'm going to send you another one. That means one like me. I'm going to send you another comforter to walk with you. I'm going to send you one just like me. How to dwell with you always. He sent us the Holy Spirit, God come to dwell with man. Are you in this city? Are you a part of this family? Are you a part of God's family? Does God dwell in you? Read another verse or two. 9. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither. I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit. Reckon he could have saw the Lamb's wife without being carried away in the Spirit? Reckon John could have had this revelation that he's had for 22 chapters without being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And know this, folks, this is not the book of the Revelations. It's singular. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city. Here's what Abraham's looking for. That great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, I want you to think about those words right there for just a minute. How could we be on the earth and be saved in time and the bride come out of heaven? The bride herself, the bride including you that are saved, was created by God. Right? Everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And there was not anything made that was not made by Him. Our brother read to us this morning that all that is, me, you, everything that is made was made by Him and for Him. The bride, ladies and gentlemen, came down from heaven because God brought it to the earth. The reason you're here is God created you. Just think with me for just a moment. So I saw that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 4. Listen to these words, just another minute or two. So verse number 3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before God in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Can you see this, friend? That the architect saw the bride before there was ever a bride. Before there was ever an Adam, God saw the bride. The bride, if there's a bride for Christ, you know where that originated with? It originated with God. It did. This city now, think with me, this city Abraham's looking for, this is the city, the holy Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife. This, it's all the same. And all of those scriptures that we read in Matthew and Mark and in the book of Acts, the whole city came out to hear Him as people. The bride, the city, are the people of God. And the bride, descending out of heaven from God, originated in the Trinity, in the mind, in the plan, in the purpose, in the counsel, in that, you know what He said? He said in the divine counsel, in that counsel, you know, there was a counsel, in the determinate counsel, there's a bride, folks. God's the architect of this city. He's the foundation of this city. And He is the worker for the public to build this city. And it's all done in accordance with the codes, with the regulations, with the law, not of Madison County, of God Almighty. And if you look a little farther in this chapter, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a city that's got 12 foundations. You're going to see a city that's got walls. You're going to see a city that the Lamb is in the midst of it. Is the Lamb in the midst
of your temple? Are you a part of the family of God? Do you need to be saved?